Coffee Time Wednesdays with the Prairie Farm Podcast.
Can't hit us with the jingle. Do-do-do-do-do.
So, yes, I am having money stresses, but that is okay because that is how the world works. And you know what everybody loves to complain about during their coffee time?
Government.
The government, their finances.
Biden economics.
And how tired they are. But you know what could fix that?
Electrotherapy.
Electrotherapy? Methamphetamines?
Nope, I'm going to keep guessing. Okay. Okay, yep. Electrotherapy, meth. Speaking of meth. Now, we're just reading into it here. But there was a hot pursuit.
Ooh!
I mean, so hot we thought the prairies were going to be on fire.
For real. Like, no tires left on the wheels.
Yeah. Yeah, there was, I don't know. We weren't here. Carol was the only one here, but he saw the whole thing unfold. There was a police chase out in front of Hoxie.
I got no idea what it's called, but it was on Facebook.
It was a tri-county chase.
Yeah. Yeah. Jasper, Marion, and Mahaska were all involved. Like 12 cars were chasing. At one point, there was a random construction company that had like a backhoe, and they saw it coming, so they pulled their backhoe off their trailer and tried to stop the guy with their backhoe in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
In the middle of the road, they tried to stop this guy with their backhoe. Someone commented on the Facebook. He was like, when you work a backhoe for a living, but all you ever dreamed of was being in law enforcement.
Oh man, I don't know. Law enforcement, they have a tough job anymore, and I think I'd rather run a backhoe.
Well, I think it was actually just marijuana. I don't think any meth was involved. Yep, really? I talked to a detective in Marion County, and that was the word. So,
anyway, there you have it.
But if that didn't wake you up, Wild Rivers Coffee,
yes,
will definitely wake you up. We are very grateful that they are a sponsor, and go check them out. We appreciate what they are doing for conservation.
I accidentally drank my Wild Rivers too fast today, Nicholas.
And he's falling asleep now.
Well, yeah, I'm getting a little groggy right now. But
the grogster.
So here's what happens. You know I like my day old coffee. I don't want to waste any of that.
I do know that you like that.
And if I have like enough day old left to where I can fill up, like, you know how on like a 32-ouncer, you have like the tapered bottom, so it'll fit in a cup holder.
Mm-hmm.
So if I fill to the top of the tapered bottom.
I never put two and two together. I guess, yeah, that's for a cup holder. Yeah. So you fill it to the tapered
part. Yeah, if I do that with cold day-old coffee, then my scalding hot coffee that I pour into on top of that to fill up the rest of the way, the coffee will be at a temperature where I can guzzle. Mm. And when I start guzzling, that ain't good because I run out of coffee by lunch for one thing. And then the other problem is I get hit with such a heavy dose of caffeine that I feel like I have some kind of neurological disease going on.
I was in such a bad mood this morning. I was like calling Kent on the phone. We were talking. I was like so upset. He was like, he's got to look on the bright side. Caffeine, methamphetamines, the bright side.
There was zero meth consumed.
Zero meth.
But a lot of caffeine, yes. And I told you I was going to get Guatemalan roast this last time around, which today I'm going to be ordering some more Wild Rivers coffee because I'm out. I accidentally ordered the Ethiopian, which is very good.
Nice.
And it was the waterfowl bag, and I believe the money goes to Ducks Unlimited, the conservation money.
Mm-hmm.
So this next time around, I will truly order the Guatemalan roast. And I'm very excited about it.
Wow. I believe in you. Look, we, speaking of almost burning down the prairies, we got to talk about something today.
Yeah.
It is March 12th. You'll be listening to this on March 13th. And y'all be burning your prairies. Y'all be burning your prairies. Look, even our prairie experts that we talk to be burning their prairies. And we need to talk about the pros and cons of these because we do not burn now. We burn in May.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the deal. There are big pros and cons, and it almost seems like a rotation would be good, but let's dive into it. First, we plant or we burn in May because in our big blue and Indian and switchgrass fields and little blue stem fields, what that does is that eliminates any cool season grasses. Cool season grass just don't stand a chance because they've already greened up and they're standing high, but then all the thatch from Big Blue Stem and Indian grass is sitting around from last year, and it burns up and it roasts those cool season grasses.
Yep.
But it warms up the ground just enough for Big Blue and Indian to peek out their head and be like, oh, it's nice and cozy. We will now abide.
Well, it warms it up, not from the heat of the fire. That heat is gone like
in a second.
I mean, like, there's insects that can survive down in the soil. But the heat is the sun, right, beating on that black surface. It absorbs all that solar radiation.
Yep. And so it warms up the ground, gets that optimal warm season temperature for your warm grasses. Now you've got great warm grasses and no cool season grasses. So the con of burning now is you are doing exactly the pro for warm season grasses in May is the pro for brome in February and March.
And Reed Canary and Kentucky
Timothy
Blue.
And Orchard Grass. Yes. Yep. All of those things. If you have them in your CRP field and you burn now, they're going to come on stronger. But there is a good pro in this. When you burn really early, it's not nearly as hard on your forbs. Mm-hmm. It can really damage forbs, especially because you're giving Big Blue and Indian and Switchgrass a boost, right? And mm-hmm. that makes them thicker. And now all of a sudden they're shading out some of these forbs that need some full sun or close to full sun. And if you do that too much, you'll just end up with like Big Blue Stem and Round-Headed Bush Clover.
Yeah, we burn on the very late end, but that's because you have to remember what are our objectives here at Hoxie. We have production fields, so we are wanting to keep it as close to one species as possible per production field so that we can give you your accurate seed tags and cut down on seed cleaning and all that. So you wouldn't necessarily want to go with our timeline unless you have, like, that is your primary problem is cool season grass invasion, which is, let's be honest, here in the Midwest, that's going to be most problems for CRP plantings. Now, if you have like a backyard pollinator that's really well managed, you don't have a lot of that cool season grass encroachment, then honestly, you probably should have burned back this last fall or winter time. That would probably be the best, but that's okay. Now is probably still okay. I wouldn't wait till May for that though.
Yeah.
April's just kind of a good rule of thumb for burning, because then you kind of get the best of both worlds there, and you can really still put a hurt on those cool season grasses as they invade.
Yeah. Yeah, the fall is definitely a good time to be burning your CRP. But here's something else or your prairie. Here's something else is Cydotes grama and Virginian wild rye. If you have a prairie that's heavy with those things, I don't know why you would, but you could. They don't like fire. Now there is some theory that we've kind of put together that it might be better for SOG to get burned in the fall. But if you burn in like April or May with SOG,
it's not good.
I mean, it'll piddle out your prairie to the point where it needs years and years to recover from it. Now, if you're heavy little blue stem and you've just got some Cydotes grama, that's fine. But then you're going to damage your Cydotes grama, your Virginia wild rye that's in there. Now, Virginia wild rye already tends to piddle out. But I wonder, so our fields of Virginia wild rye, they piddle out. They and then they die out after about 3 or 4 years. But I wonder if they, you know, if we weren't harvesting and the seed was just plopping itself on the ground every year, if it would stay luscious in a prairie because it's reseeding itself every year. And it comes in before Big Blue Stem and Indian grass, so it's not getting shaded out. It can really handle that stuff. I wonder that, and Candle Wild Rye, they have a similar.
Yeah, we've talked about it before. We definitely have interviewed a lot of people who have a lot of experience with burning, but we need to have like a true, like, that's their thing. Ron Nelson, prairie burner, we need whoever Ron Nelson is. Not that that's a real person, but
I'm sure someone out there is named Ron Nelson.
Actually, a boss named Ron Nelson. He was cool.
I told you.
Ron Nelson. He was actually very similar to Carol. He like knew how to do everything.
Interesting.
But that's a good point though. You bring up on burning. I have a topic for you.
You got a topic
that came from
a virgin topic. I've not heard this one yet.
No, this is brand new to your ears.
Beautiful.
my father-in-law, shout out to Jim.
Jim Pa.
That's right. Jim Pa, dude, that kills me.
I don't know if you guys didn't listen. This was like a year ago. Kent told this story. I think it was literally a year ago at this point.
Talked about high maintenance grandparent names.
Yes, and Jim had, he was not feeling grandpa or grandfather, so he told Kent, just have your kids call me Jim. And, yeah. and your wife was like, no. So Jim Pa was. Dude, that kills it. Just
yeah, somebody came up with Jim Pa. That's like the lowest maintenance grandparent name there is. But anyways, he sent me an article on forever chemicals being found in sewer sludge. And or sewage sludge, I guess you could say. Do you remember learning the term sludge as a kid? Like that's a.
And I think I was born knowing what sludge was. Live in sludge in the womb.
No, you.
And
don't.
You come out, and then sludge comes out of you once a day, or when you're a baby, once every 2 hours.
Sludge is just like one of those words that's just perfect for what it is, right? And then. You know, half the population out there still thinks that it's a sledgehammer is a sludgehammer, and they
sludgehammer. You got to sludge it around.
Do you think those people every time they pick that thing up, be like, they're like, you know, turning the thing over there, and like, yeah, I guess I could see how this smashes sludge. You know,
that makes sense. This is a sludgehammer.
Really flatten the turds. But no, sewage sludge from. Like municipal water treatment plants, they have all this solid waste that's left over from treating the water, right?
What do they do with it? I've always wondered. Ken, you're going to tell me?
Yes.
Oh.
So my father-in-law saw this article, which I'll pull up here in a second. But basically, it answers that question that Nicholas has. And the article is from The Guardian, and it's titled... Texas farmers claim company sold them PFAS contaminated sludge that killed livestock. So another term for these are, or of this fertilizer is called biosolids. And basically what's going on here is this leftover solid waste, right?
Poop.
Someday when, you know, my days are long gone and people are looking up quotes to associate with me, ignore all the ones that happened before, you know, like 2009, because those aren't good. but you know what, let's ratchet that back a few years beyond that. But one that I hope people give me credit for is a lot of our societal problems boil down to the fact that we as a society do not understand the law of conservation of matter and the law of conservation of energy. Like, we think things just appear and then we think they disappear, and that's not true. They still exist somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And so this is one of those problems. We have the water's being treated, it's going down the toilet, and eventually it's coming back out your tap safe enough for you to drink. But what happened with all the other stuff that went down with it? And what do the companies that the water treatment companies or yeah, I think those are private companies. Yeah, you went and interviewed one.
Yeah. Well, they don't have to be. They can be government.
Okay.
You know, if a city was really struggling to get on its feet, a lot of times the government will step in and start it, and then they don't, like, government, when they have power, they don't give that up, so they keep running it.
See, here's Nick complaining about the government again.
Here I am.
He's going to start talking about Biden economics again.
And Wild River coffee, and I'm tired.
But no, so they got to do something with all this sludge, these biosolids. And in some states, not all states, but a lot of states, honestly, these biosolids, as long as they fit within a certain list of parameters, can be used as fertilizer, which is yuck, Dwight.
Yuck.
And so these biosolids have been spread down in a few areas, and there's this case in Texas where they were used, and they contain these forever chemicals, which Forever Chemicals is still kind of a new concept. It's been talked about now for, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years.
Basically, I've been hearing it
mentioned in the news and on podcasts and stuff. Yeah, there's chemicals that there's nothing that we have found in nature that can break them down.
Hmm.
And turns out, as luck would have it, they are harmful to mammals. And they can, if taken in enough concentration, can even kill. Hmm. And that's what's happening. So these PFAs are found in these biosolids that are used for fertilizing fields. They get into local drinking water, or I think they even can be, like if it's in like a pasture or something, like the cows can pick it up out of the soil while they're eating. I'm not sure if the plant tissue takes it in.
Is cyanide one? Because I've been nibbling on those.
No, cyanide is a different thing.
Cool.
That's actually a naturally derived chemical. A lot of plants have cyanide in their seeds or in their roots, like manioc. And
my wife keeps telling me she wants to season the food with cyanide. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, you might want to get a restraining order. apple seeds, too, have cyanide in them.
Is that why they're quote-unquote poisonous to eat the apple core?
Yeah.
Dude, one time I was like 4 years old, and I thought eating the apple core was like a crime. And my grandpa, I was like, what do I do with this? I need to throw it away. He's like, oh, give it here. Ate the whole thing but the stem. He's like, this is the only thing I throw away. And I thought that man is going to jail.
Nicholas is like, Grandpa, can I have your stuff? but anyways,
speaking of which, Ken, am I in your will?
Yeah, no, you're not.
We'll rectify that.
I will save all my Wild Rivers coffee bags that I've been hoarding for
deal.
You.
Deal. Don't lie. I've seen you drink coffee. You don't hoard nothing.
So these PFAs are getting into the, I guess we'll just, for lack of a better term here, farming ecosystem, part of what's going on in this farm, and it's causing effects. People are getting sick. Of course, there's a concern of it getting into, groundwater. And obviously, they can be filtered out because that's what's happened, right? Like the PFAs were filtered out of the water. They're collected in the biosolid.
Mm-hmm.
But if it get, like, let's say you have somebody on a well, now that gets in where you don't have the filtering going on there, and it's going from the ground to the tap, and people are getting sick for the PFAs. So it's a really concerning thing. I don't really have a good answer for it, though. Like, you read that thing and you want to be outraged, and there's a few states that have made it, nope, you cannot use biosolids for fertilizer. And if you're in that state, you might be thinking like, aren't we lucky? But
seems kind of like a waste.
At the same time,
no pun intended,
at the same time, what's happening with it then? You know what I mean? It's like, it's not disappearing, right? Yeah. We still have the law of conservation of matter.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like plastic recycling. What was the big dirty secret during the trade wars with China back in like 2020. Fine. We aren't going to dispose of your plastic for you anymore. And it's like, wait, what? Dispose of our, what? What do you mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, plastic can't really be, a lot of plastic cannot be recycled
in an
effective and efficient way. So we're actually just giving it to somebody else to,
paying someone else to take it.
Yeah, pollute the world with it for us. So
in their area.
Right. So I imagine, I don't know this for sure, I'm just guessing that's usually how most things end up happening. The can gets kicked down the road to someone else who's willing to do the dirty work. And my guess is those biosolids, maybe they aren't getting used in your state for that, but they're probably getting shipped somewhere else and getting used there.
Well, but listen here with biosolid, because ideally, I mean, the founder, I think I said this before, the founder of Hyundai, he was so poor that he had to come home from whatever festivity he was at, playing with friends, or I think he only went to school through like second grade or something, and he'd have to come home to poop because his parents desperately needed that as fertilizer. That's how poor they were. But they were eating.
I feel like I'm missing some steps in that story that are probably pretty important.
No, the founder of Hyundai, when he was a kid, his his parents were so poor that they needed the fertilizer of his poop and his siblings.
Yeah, but I mean, like, how often are they fertilizing things? It can't be a daily thing.
No, no, but they like put it in a bucket or something. But here's the deal. Goodness. Their poop was probably fertilizing. Our poop, which is filled with like Casey's breakfast pizza and Oreos, is like not fertilizing nothing, dude. Nothing.
It's got carbon. It's got nitrogen. It's got phosphorus. It's got other trace elements.
I know, but the nutrients, it's like.
Those are nutrients that I just mentioned.
No. That's what I'm saying. But the nutrients is such a lower percentage.
Yeah.
I feel like it's mostly like margarine. It's just plastic, you know.
I can't believe it's not poop.
Oh, man. We are too tired to be talking about poop.
I ran out of my Wild Rivers coffee. Yeah. I drank it too fast.
Oh, man.
I think it's just good for us to pay attention to this stuff and be aware. And when something does seem like alarmingly wrong, then, yeah, we try and step in. But we also need to be understanding, too, of...
Maybe the fact you should that poop
if we're
less.
if we're going to treat water for 330 million people in this country, which we don't for all those. A lot of people are on septic systems and have wells, but we'll say 230 million people. If we're going to treat water for 230 million people in this country, there's going to be a trade-off, right? And the unfortunate trade-off is this, and hopefully. Hopefully, biochemistry and just straight up chemistry from the sounds of it, since PFAs have nothing to do with bio anything, can come up with a solution for degrading these PFAs and getting them into simpler compounds that can be cycled naturally.
I heard there were like nanorobots or something that they were getting to eat. No, it was like...
I think you might be thinking of plastics.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is that are eating plastic, so could they also decompose some of these chemicals?
Yeah, maybe we need to invent a Wally that just is here to remove PFAs for us.
And just send them off to the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, we are sponsored by Hoxie Native Seeds, and it's time... the prairie farm right now, just so if you're going to plant some prairie, we're actually not shipping anything out between now and May 1st. But we get orders in, and then I just bag up hundreds of orders, and I send them out. I think it's May 1st to May 10th is the guaranteed ship date. But if you're looking for something, feel free to check out theprairiefarm.com.
We've been having a lot of great orders coming in. It's super encouraging.
I just sold in the same day some to Ohio and some to Montana. Now, keep in mind, we did not use our Midwest backyard pollinator. We put a custom thing together for both of those, but... because Ohio, I know they say they're in the Midwest, but my wife's from Ohio. They ain't no Midwest. They're lying.
Yeah, it's really more of an eastern state, but very diverse state.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We'll see you guys next time.